Come on, buddy. This is good. He's all on fire. Let's go ahead and jump
into
this.
Thank you, Lord. Jesus, we just want to live in your light for eternity. And we ask you to give us wisdom today to open our minds to understand things even in a new capacity. Anoint us to understand your word and the mysteries of your love. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're starting a five-week series called Living in the Light of Eternity. Today's message is called Enjoying the Now. I'm excited because in life, I tend to think a lot about what's to come. And for me personally, when I think of what's to come, I can feel kind of sour sometimes about this place. And so today, we're going to talk about things that you can only do here on earth before God makes all things new. So I'll start with a story. I have an uncle, my father's brother, Rod Haywood. Interesting gentleman. He's never been married. He's lived alone his adult life. He has a lot of very specific interests, and maybe one could even say quirks. And as a boy, whenever I would travel with him and we'd go to a restaurant, he would always ask a very interesting question. He would ask the food server, he would say, you know, I'm never going to be here again. Like, you know, we don't live in this area. I have no plans to come back. So I need you to tell me, like, what is that one or two things this restaurant has that, you know, I need to get? And it's different than just asking for the special, because the special might be that they had too much beef and they're trying to find a way to make something out of beef, right? So, for example, if you were in Annapolis, Maryland, and you said, what's really good in this area that I'm not going to get anywhere else, they're going to say, oh, you need some crab. You need something, crab cakes or something with, you know, fresh blue crab, right? Because it's specific to that area. And so he would always ask them for this counsel, like, what can I only get here? And in my hypothetical example, if they said, well, you could get crab cakes or, you know, crab salad or, you know, he would then pick from those options within what was special in that place. So I want to tell you some things that are special. We're going to talk about some things that are special today to this place prior to Jesus coming back and making all things new. When praying about this message, I asked the Lord where he wanted us to be in the Word, and he took me to 1 Corinthians. If you look at your page there or in your Bible, a famous chapter about love, 1 Corinthians 13, starting in verse 8. Let's read together. Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. Let's stop there. Wow. Okay. So something's coming that's perfect, right? All things new. A new heaven and a new earth. People think erroneously that we leave this place and we go to this big white heaveny thing and we have harps and we have to sing to God for eternity. I love God. I can't wait to sing for him. That wasn't super exciting to me. Luckily, that's not what the Bible says. That's religious thought. The Bible says Christ will come back. He will take heaven and bring it down to earth and make this the new earth and the new heaven. And all things will be restored. That word for all, by the way, means all. I'm all for taking trips and traveling. Like, I love this idea of like, oh, I've got a bucket list. I want to see the Grand Canyon, you know. Don't worry. If you can't see the canyon now, you're going to see the canyon later. Matter of fact, later it probably won't be a desertous canyon. It'll probably have all this gorgeous life growing out of it, right, when all things are made new. So I want to flip this idea on its head. And point number one is, this difficult life is a special opportunity, our only chance to do hard things. This difficult life is a special opportunity, our only chance to do hard things. What do you mean about that, Nick? I don't know if I like where this sermon's going. Well, maybe you're in a difficult marriage. You're going to have a beautiful marriage to your bridegroom, Jesus, the living Christ, forever and ever and ever. Maybe you're single. Well, you're going to be married to your prince, charming, Jesus, the living Christ, forever and ever. Maybe your husband left you, cheated on you. Jesus will never, ever be disloyal to you. He'll be yours forever and ever. See, this is your only chance to do all the hard stuff. This is you're talking about my uncle and being at the restaurant. That's what's special about earth before it is restored. This is your only chance to have a really crummy day and decide at the end of it, literally with no emotion proving this, but just your will. I praise you, Lord. I trust you. And then you go to sleep. I know it's weird. I've been up since 4:30 this morning preparing this. And I know it sounds funny, but I didn't really feel like singing this morning. And he's leading us in this gorgeous worship. And so as an act of my will, I thought, you know what? I choose to worship you. I choose to engage right now. Pastor always tells us there's two times to worship God, when you feel like it and when you don't. I started feeling a lot better. Energy started coming back in my body when I chose to worship. It's interesting. So let's look at the back of your sheet. 10 things you can only do here on earth before it's restored. All right, you ready for this? Number one, forgive someone. There's no sin in heaven. Isn't that an interesting thought? This is your one chance. Let's try it out. It's kind of fun. Try it. It's really fun. Letting go of something to God. Well, why won't we have that in heaven? Well, everything's going to be perfect. You're not going to have to let go of anything, right? There's no death. Number three, be Jesus to others. Well, you know, we're all going to be perfectly provided for and hanging out with Jesus, so you don't need to be like him. I mean, you will be, but you don't need to. Believe things will get better. Well, all things are going to be made well. Repent. Change your mind. Run away from a sin that you've been struggling with. You can't do that in heaven because there's no sin. So might as well try that one on now. It's the only chance. See, this is my bucket list now. I've been seeing these people on Instagram, and they're like 20-year-olds, and they're like, this is all we have. We got to go see the Grand Canyon. We got to go to Bali. We got to go to Thailand. We got to go to Vietnam. This is all we have. I'm like, wow, that's really depressing. I'm like 35, losing my hair, and I haven't been to Bali yet. Crap. Totally messed this up. What were we thinking? But if I have forever to grab my best friend by the hand with perfected bodies, I'll have hair again, honey. This little guy won't be there. And for us to swim, let's swim to Bali. You want to swim with me across the ocean with dolphins? And when sharks come up, just say hi and not be afraid. They ain't going to eat you anymore. Be like, shark, come with us to Bali. We're going to Bali. Whoa. So if I get to do that forever, but this is my only chance to forgive so-and-so for what they did to me, now my bucket list kind of shifts, right? It's your only chance to encourage someone, because no one's ever going to need you to encourage them anymore. My mom's going to be out of a job. My mom is the most encouraging person in the world. I'm going to ask her to listen to this message. She's going to laugh at this part. She'll be like, hey, I just wanted to encourage you. Hey, the Lord put on my heart that, wait, you already know that. You're really lovely today. I know you already know that, but I just want to tell you, darn it. What is she going to do in heaven? I don't know. It's your only chance to give to the poor. If you're poor, it's your only chance to be poor. If you have $10 to your name, it's your only chance to be generous. You'll never have this chance again because everyone will have everything. It says, come and drink freely from the river of life. And the word freely means no cost. Just come and get it. It's not communism and it's not capitalism. It's Christianity. Hallelujah. It's your only chance to choose to be obedient to God because everything would be perfect then. It's our only chance to use your time wisely or to share your time in a meaningful way with someone you love. Well, what I mean is, you know, I have like zero time. When I carve out an hour to look at this beautiful woman and talk to her, that's a big deal because I have no time. Time is my resource. It's a commodity. If I spend an hour with her in heaven, we have 10 trillion more. It doesn't mean as much, right? Oh, man, I need to call my mother today. Okay. After the service, I'd love for you to, or when you're on your home this week, you know, bring this with you. Maybe fill out these empty lines at the bottom. Make a list of your own of hard things, bad things that you can only do now. Forgive someone, letting go of something. Personalize it. Make it your own. This is your only chance. We got Bali. We got Hawaii, we got the Caribbean, we got the Grand Canyon. It's all coming. It's all restored forever and ever and ever. But this is your one chance to find beauty in the ugly. It's your one chance to go visit someone in prison. There won't be any prisons. I thought, wow, Jesus was giving us this like secret to life, dropping these little breadcrumbs at this idea that we could be loving to people who need our love. This idea that he goes, oh yeah, don't forget about the orphan and the widow and the prisoner. Wow, that was really smart, because he was identifying, this is your only chance, you guys. It's your only chance. Orphans, widows, and prisoners, only chance. All right, praise God. Let's flip this back over. That was based on verse 10, by the way, which says, but when that which is perfect has come, that which is in part will pass away. Okay? Ask a loved one a really good question. This is your only chance. When you know all things, you're not going to have to ask them. Karen, what did you think of that movie? You know, I'll just know what she thought of that movie, so I'll have to ask her. Lord, help us see our bucket list differently in light of eternity. So the second thing is, in this scripture, it's easier to withstand tragedies in your story if you know how it ends. It's easier to withstand tragedies in your story if you know how it ends. I am one of those people, when I really, you know, I'm watching a film or I'm reading a book and I see things, you start to see elements of the story that you want to have happen. A good story brings you in and you're like, man, I really hope Sally and Frank end up together. And you see, the story starts like this, you think, oh, and then, oh, resolution. Every story has a beginning, middle, and end. It has these components of things you want to have happen. Like, I want these boys and girls to win the war. You know, it looks like they're going to win. And then there's conflict. Two-thirds of the way through a movie, there's conflict, okay? Just set your watch. Be aware of it. If you start to go, oh, I don't like this movie anymore, which is how I feel because I love things working out, you know, I remind myself, or if I'm with someone who's seen this film before, read this book, I said, don't tell me any details, but am I going to like this ending? And if they're like, yeah, you'll like it, I'm like, okay, I don't need to be freaking out that Frank and Sally are yelling at each other and that it doesn't look like it's going to work out, or these guys look like they're going to die and lose the war. I can relax, if you will, in this tragedy because I know the ending, right? When you know the ending's good and the tragedy comes, you can kind of just smile and go, okay, interesting. Didn't think I was going to get divorced. Didn't think my son was going to die of cancer. Didn't think I was going to be poor, but you know what? I know how it ends. Didn't think I was going to lose my job. I really liked that job. But I know how it ends. When tragedies enter your life, if you're only going to be okay, if everything's going to be okay here, ooh, you're going to have a hard life. Oh, you're not going to be able to sleep. You might stop eating. This ain't going to be fun. But if you know, I got everything restored coming. Okay, Lord, where do you want me to get my income from next week since my job's done? Where do you want me to get my love from since my marriage is done? Where do you want me to get my, you know, hope from since my child just died? I need you, right? So in that tragedy, if you tell yourself, I know the ending. I know the ending. 1 Corinthians 13:12a says, for now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. When this letter was written around the year, I don't know, 30 or 50 or 60 AD, when this letter was written 2,000 years ago to a group of Christians living in a city called Corinth, they didn't have a mirror in the way that we have one now. When I look in the mirror in the morning, it's a two-dimensional, almost perfect reflection of myself, okay? If you've ever seen yourself in a piece of like sheet metal, that's more like what they had. So when he says that you see yourself in a mirror dimly, it's real vague. It's not as clear as our modern glass with, you know, this paint behind it that allows us to see almost crystal clear. So that word dimly in the Greek comes from the word we use today called enigma. So we see through things currently through an enigma. An enigma means hard to understand. Thanks a lot. Right now, you see things dimly, and it's hard to understand. Why did my dad die when I was 3? Like, I was really, like, that wasn't in my plan, God. You know? I'm using stories that aren't necessarily my own, by the way. Everyone's like, I thought he was married. Is that why they adopted Titus? No, no. So, in your story, so that word means enigma, hard to understand. The base of the word enigma in the Greek, going a little bit deeper, is story. It means story or proverb. Isn't it interesting that when Jesus wanted to speak to us, who we're living out our story right now, he would always speak to us in stories. He would teach in parables. Why would he do that? Because he knows you're living your story out right now. You're living out your parable. You're living in your story, but later we'll see face to face. It's actually referencing your actual face, like the front of your head, but there's an imagery there in the Greek that just talks about being, you know, exact facing with God. It's so wild. Right now, everything's dim. I think this is who he is, and we grasp at it, and we get these great songs, and we worship him, but you'll just be face to face with God for as long as you want and forever. Understanding everything perfectly. Everything. Completeness. 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 So while you're stuck in your story right now, while you're in your enigma, while you're trying to figure this place out, there's something that children love that you can embrace, that you can love too. And it's this idea that every story to a child has a beginning, middle, and end. Somewhere between the middle and the end is like conflict, and then resolution. And then every story ends with, and they lived happily ever after. Why is that? Why are those 6 words so deeply written into your soul? Why does that connect with you so deeply? Because it's your story. And they lived happily ever after. Matter of fact, that is the beginning of forever. That's where we're headed. So I don't have to worry, okay, I didn't hit my sales goal this year. You know, my best friend Justin's mad at me. Whatever it is you're going through, I don't know where I'm going to get my next paycheck from. You can remind yourself, and I will live happily ever after. So God, I'm just asking you to show me how to live in this tragedy, in this difficult moment. All things will be made new. You will be redeemed. So, Nick, that's really encouraging. You're trying to help me be a little bit more positive in my thinking about, you know, what I'm only able to do here on earth compared to what heaven will be like forever. I like that. I'm going to try to embrace that this week. Maybe I'll turn my thing over when I get home or Tuesday when I've forgotten about it and write a few things down. You're encouraging me that the ending to my story is going to be good so I can begin to let go some of the details and tragedies between now and death. But man, this is a lonely place, this earth. About a month ago, I deleted the news app from my phone. I just can't take it anymore. I just can't take it anymore. I'm not going to even repeat the things that you know, that I know, have been on there that I just can't hear have happened again. I'm in a job in an industry where I need to stay informed. So when I want to proactively, it's about once a day, sometimes twice, I will go to a news source when I'm ready and in the right frame of mind and check in on the world. But what was happening was all day long, 12 and 15 and 26 times throughout the day, these things were telling me, this horrible reason to die, this horrible reason to kill yourself, this horrible reason to be afraid tonight, this horrible reason to lose sleep, this horrible reason to double check your door tonight. And I just couldn't handle it anymore. Oh my God. I thought, there has to be a way to delete this. I did. You can delete the news app, which will no longer feed these things in my face. And when I want to throughout the day, I can go check on the news. When I'm in the right frame of mind, not when I'm like tired and vulnerable, or not when I just woken up, by the way. Okay? It's a lonely place with a lot of bad things going on. And so there's this beautiful verse, 1 Corinthians 13, 12b. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am already fully known. See, point number 3 is, though we are not in heaven yet, God already is. And he's holding on to us from there. Thank you, Jesus. I don't know why that just makes me so happy. Though we are not in heaven yet, God already is, and he's holding on to us from there. He knows you fully. He knows you fully. He knows your entire story. He knows the good, bad, and ugly that's about to unfold. He's not daunted. He's not afraid. He's not surprised. There ain't nothing the enemy can throw in your face that he's worried about, or, I didn't realize the devil was going to attack you with that. Not surprised, caught off guard. The complexity of our current situation is that we are currently amidst the partial. We don't yet have completeness, but God already lives within the complete. When we don't know the answer, he does. When we don't understand ourselves, he does. When we don't understand the world around us or what will happen next or how he could possibly redeem it, he knows. He knows. He's living in completeness. Nothing escapes him. One day we will know fully like him. We'll be face to face, but we are already fully known. It's okay to let go of understanding everything. There's a subconscious message in our society now with information at your fingertips that you kind of need to know everything. You need your own personal belief system about everything all the time. You need to understand how creation mixes with science. You need to understand, you know, what right politics is. You need to understand how to argue whether children should be, you know, sprinkled with water as babies or dunked when they're 12. You don't need to know any of that. You really don't. You need to know that Jesus, the living Christ, will come back and make all things new. And that I can't live this life without him. That I'm a screw up and a failure. And every day I try harder and harder and harder. And until I get grace living inside of me, I can't do it. So I come back to him. Big sin, little sin, tiny sin, many sins, whatever it is. And I say, wash me in your blood. And I start all over again. His mercies are new every morning. That's what you need to know. Turn your phone off, close the book, and go have a great time. Go forgive someone. Go visit the poor. Go give your money away. Tell someone you're sorry, because this is your only chance to do those things. The Instagram that we should all be following is some weirdo like me or you going around loving everybody, because that's all they can do right now. And they're like, I'm doing the Grand Canyon later. I'm doing Bali later. Or grab some poor person and take them to Bali with you. That would be fun. You want me to take a poor person to Bali later? So that'd be cool. Try that one. So, it's our only chance to not know everything. It's our only chance to not know everything. To embrace mystery. To see the sunrise. To see clouds in the air and go, wow. Wow. To swim in our river and go, I wonder why it's green, you know? To not know where each particle of water had come from a cloud when it last fell, and to not know what part of the world it evaporated from. I don't know yet. I don't know yet, but I will. So I get to just embrace that big thought. Just embrace mystery. Embrace the wonder of God. This is your only chance to do it, because you're going to know everything. Besides, no one really likes a know-it-all. So stop trying to know everything. The conclusion is this. The next time things are difficult in your life, maybe later today, maybe right now, just think to yourself, this is my only chance to trust God. It's my only chance to trust him. All things will be made new forever. Next time you're struggling with the hardships of this life, remind yourself, I know how this ends. I don't know what to do next, but it is well with my soul. The next time you don't understand something, or you're struggling with that gap between faith and understanding, think of this. One day, I will fully know as I am already fully known. Everything about our existence is challenging. Even from the birth canal, if you make it that far, if you come out breathing, truly, hard from the start, blood, guts, I don't know why they invite dads to come in there, it's like the ugliest, craziest thing I've ever been in, worse than the war, you know? Pastor Laurie had to practically hold me, I was fainting, and my wife was the one who needed the help, you know? If any of this isn't already your future, if you're not madly in love with Jesus and completely aware of the fact that he started this love affair, that he's madly in love with you, that he wants forever with you, that there's a ticket to get in, that the price of that ticket is perfection and that you're not perfect. The price of that ticket, if you want to buy it, is his blood, the blood of Jesus, a perfect offering for you. And that the only way to give it, the only way to get that ticket in forever in this restoration is to give him all your sin. I don't want your filthy religious attempts. I don't want you thinking that if you help us get in the front door or sweep the steps that you're going to heaven. That's garbage. I want you to give your sin to him. Maybe some of you have already done that, but you want to come back up and just give him a whole fresh new heap.
Fresh new heap.
So he can give you his blood. So you can just enjoy him forever and ever. For those of you who already know, that's my future. Me and Jesus forever. We're like this. If for those of you who already know that, but you've just been carrying the weight of this world, and you just need to get a burden off your shoulders, I'm inviting you right now, please, come. Come pray with these friends. Come pray. Come put those down, these burdens, these fears, your job, your next paycheck, your messed up marriage, your beautiful marriage, your children, whatever it is, it's freaking you out, stressing you out. Come put it before the Lord and say, I know how this story ends. These loved ones are going to help you key in to that peace that surpasses all understanding. Let's stand together, if you will. There's another group of you here, the hardest to reach of all. You're the ones who are trying so hard. I want to encourage you. Please, this is your one chance to live life in the imperfect. Please don't waste it trying to make this place something it's not, which is perfection. Every day you realize something about yourself, oh man, I still did that again. I said that word again. I yelled at my son again. I gave her that look again when I was supposed to say I was sorry. Dang it. Or worse, I did that drug again. I had sex with that person again. Whatever it is, guess what? Every day you're in that tension. Stop trying to be perfect. Let it go. Enjoy that this is the imperfect place. I'm not telling you to go sin and be an idiot and mess your life up. I'm telling you, when you're mad at yourself for it, drop the gavel. Perfect is coming. Completeness is coming. Remind yourself, I will be made whole. I forgive you, Nick. I love you, Nick. Tell yourself that. Let it go. And come to him. Give him your sin. Let's pray. Jesus, we ask you to come be fresh and real in a whole new way this week as we flip our bucket list up over on its head and we say, give us a chance to enjoy this imperfect life this week. Give us a chance to be wrong. Give us a chance to repent. Give us a chance to forgive someone this week. Give us a chance to be generous this week, to trust you, to let go. Anoint us for this task. Come. If you need to do business with the Lord here with these friends of mine or even alone with Jesus at your seat, this is your moment. Come and be a part of that. We love you. Come down. We invite you now.